honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owyjan. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It's a great pleasure to be back and forth with you once again today. A week before Thanksgiving and a week before, 8 days before the the annual, we're getting started on a weekly basis deal again on Black Friday next week. Because Timberwolves Explosion usually releases on Fridays, but instead of it being a rainy day to prevent prevent me doing fall cleanups, it's an extremely windy day. It's gorgeous outside, gorgeous, but it's too windy to do fall cleanups. So you wouldn't want to really leave. I'm dropping the mic here. I dropped the mic a little too early, right? No, you wouldn't want to do you wouldn't really want to do fall cleanup work in windy weather like this. So yeah, so I'm here on Thursday. Okay. So, and it's I had to get on, even though it's just one day off and forever from the lawn service. I had to get on because of what an amazing month of November it's been until last night. But we are not going to dwell on last night when it comes to the month of November, which has been outright amazing. 7-0 until last night. But when you consider who the Timberwolves beat over the course of the seven games, not every game was overly impressive, but the fact that the Wolves won every damn one of them. Yeah, I know, you get the point, until last night. Sorry. It was the only back-to-back, and we didn't win in the back-to-back. So that's kind of how that goes. Before I really get started, I want to give out a couple of shout-outs really quick. Scott Doherty, I got to give you a shout-out right now, because I keep forgetting to shout-out to Timberwolves Wolfpack, Flip to Finch, and Scott Doherty. I mean, he's an awesome guy, and that's a great page. It's an absolutely great page, and Scott Doherty has been, Scott Doherty there was a drawing for a shirt and some socks, Timberwolves shirt and socks, and somehow, some way, I got picked, and it was just the most unbelievable thing ever. It's I feel I don't contribute enough, and I just felt bad, I don't want them to feel like I'm just spamming on the page, when I say I give them shout-outs on the show, but... And then it seemed like I wasn't shouting out enough. I'd keep forgetting, and I just felt terrible about that. So I just want to apologize to you, Scott Doherty, in case you're listening. Sometimes I would forget, and it's I'd get too excited about this and that, and then I wouldn't even do the shout-out. So I just felt terrible. So huge shout-out right here and now. Wolfpack Flip to Finch, Scott Doherty, and thank you so much for the shirt and socks that somehow, some way, my name got chosen. It was an amazing thing, and just want to say thank you very much. Also, another very quick shout-out, Jeff Johnson, long-time Wolves fan from Edina and friend of Timberwolves Explosion. He's definitely listened before. Not sure if he's a regular listener, but maybe. Jeff Johnson turns, if it's okay to say the year, 32 today. Jeff Johnson, happy birthday, Jeff. So November 16th, Thursday, November 16th. Happy birthday, Jeff. Hope you're having a great day, and this is... as great of a Timberwolves start that we can ever imagine. Even back in, that has been the conversation the last few days. Is this the best start in Timberwolves history? And it's absolutely. You know why? Because the year the Timberwolves won 58 games, we started crappy that year, remember? We were 9-9. I was what the hell is this? This is lame. I remember listening on the Paul Allen show. I believe it was, it was still PA and Dubé then. Dubé didn't get in trouble, unfortunately, until 2008. They're talking about, this team's really underachieving for what we'd had. We'd had Sam Cassell, we'd acquired Latrell Sprewell, and, it was a very exciting team that had played very well the year before, finally earned home court advantage in the first round for the first time, but then found a way to run into the Lakers, and that was unfortunate right away. Kind of like the Wild running into the Blackhawks or somebody like that for a while, or Dallas last year. But the Wild have underachieved in the playoffs forever, so I'll get off them. Brave the Wild podcast if you're interested. But no, the Timberwolves off to an amazing start, getting to 8-2 after beating the frickin' Warriors twice, the hated Warriors, but also some other amazing feats along the way that I'm going to get to now as we're going to segue where Timberwolves explosion into what Timberwolves explosion is all about. So you open the month after coming off a terrible game against the Atlanta Hawks, or I, you know, called the episode from Globetrotters to Generals after we'd looked great against Miami. We stunk against Toronto, 97-94. Like, we never win there for some reason. We even lost, or actually, I think we finally won a game in Canada during that great 03-04 season. We finally won a game in Canada, if I'm remembering correctly. Or was it that awful next year? Like, that awful letdown of a season the next year. It was one of those two where the Timberwolves started a very long drought at making the postseason. Sorry for the negativity. We kicked Miami's butt. Of course, Jimmy Butthead was just sitting on his butt, mocking us, basically blowing kisses, because he decided to rest in the second game of the season. I went on that big rant, basically. And then, okay, we're looking good against Atlanta. Wow, this is amazing. We're kicking their butts. And then there was like a complete turn. The shades of the game I always bring up, or have brought up many times on the show, many, many years ago, against a Golden State Warriors team that featured Larry Hughes. I believe Gilbert Arenas might have been on that team. So talented players. And that was when I actually liked the Warriors a little bit. I actually did, because Larry Hughes as a Golden State Warrior was my favorite version of Larry Hughes. Gilbert Arenas will always be my favorite version. Gilbert Arenas, my favorite version of him will always be on the Golden State Warriors back then. So I actually liked Golden State for a minute. Believe, wrap your head around that. Now, I didn't mind them with Sprewell and Mullen and all them, but and Tim Hardaway, and so on and so forth. But the Curry era, yeah, I can't stand them. But yeah, you turn around. Yeah, but what happened in that game, it was like a 40, 50, 60-point turnaround. It was ridiculous. Like, you're up by 20 and you lose by 30. And in this one, it kind of felt like that versus Atlanta. It wasn't quite as dramatic as that one. A huge, ridiculous turnaround that made no sense. It was like a 50-point turnaround in that Golden State game many years ago, circa 2001-ish, I think, around then. It was a while back when I was a season ticket holder. This one kind of felt like that, the Atlanta game. But then you come back to the point now, the month of November, where we need to be. And it's like, oh, we're going to lose to Denver. Okay, we'll beat Utah, but yeah, we're not going to beat Boston. We're going to go 1-2, and we're going to be 2-4 to start the year. Nope. The Timberwolves went 3-0.
It's showtime!
Yep. Well, it's not news to you, I'm sure, unless you've been living in a cave. The Timberwolves beat the Denver Nuggets 110-89. Unbelievable. And then follow up with an absolute spanking of the Utah Jazz. And then defeat a Boston Celtics team. Now, these were home games. So, okay, credit where it's due one way or another. These were home games. But the fact we beat Denver to a point that they simply folded in the game, it's unbelievable. Defending world champions. The turning point of the season right there. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, that was a really nice win. Yeah, let's see. But Jokic was sitting out, right? No, he wasn't. Okay, Jamal Murray's hurt or something. No, Jamal Murray played. Aaron Gordon, well, who's he? I'm just kidding. Michael Porter, no, he played too. Really? All these guys played. Okay. DeAndre Jordan didn't even get in the game. That's funny. Because he's ancient now. He's too busy cursing at guys for shooting shots after the whistle. Yeah, I remember how he used to do that and stuff. It was kind of silly, and you could hear it. Anyhow, to the point, the Wolves slaughtered Denver? Okay, that's really good. And Denver was, what, undefeated at the time, and they're 9-2 right now. That's right, best in the West, defending champs. They are still the best in the West right now, with a better record than last year. But we beat them. And then, of course, we beat Utah pretty handily. There was no 4-block, 5-block performance like I was thinking what's-his-name would do, unless there was. But Walker Kessler, he had 3 blocks, so he came close. Rudy Gobert did get the 4 blocks, and he's been the huge difference here. I'm not going to talk about every game like in the detail, but generally speaking, see, like, we're going to highlight the ones like, you know, Boston, Denver, and then we're going to talk more about Golden State. And try to get off Phoenix a little bit, but I have to talk about it, unfortunately. Boston was beating the Wolves most of the game, but the second half, things started to change. You could literally see how the win probability just started fluctuating like mad in the second half. First half was like Boston, yeah, they're probably going to beat the Wolves. Like, come on, they're way better. Get out of town. And then Anthony Edwards went berserk and had an unbelievable game. 38 points, 7 assists, 9 rebounds, looking like a top, you know, easily a top What am I trying to say? All NBA third team easily. Like, he's going to get the Supermax because of it. How does Anthony Edwards not make the All NBA third team? He absolutely does. Jaden McDaniels, also a 20-point performance. Outstanding. Despite great performances by Jaylen Brown, or good performances anyway, 26 points and 32 for Jason Tatum. The Timberwolves simply outplayed the Boston Celtics. Carl Anthony Towns is flailing all over the place and had a very disappointing and an awful game. 1 of 7 from 3, 3 of 10. In the past, a game like that out of Carl and we're toast, especially against frickin' Boston? Come on. But Anthony Edwards, being the franchise player he's become, absolutely. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up surpassing a certain player that everybody in this town believes is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I wouldn't be surprised if he surpasses him at some point in his career. In fact, I would not. Even Sam Mitchell admitted it. Sam Mitchell admitted that Anthony Edwards just might end up eclipsing Kevin Garnett someday. Very possible, actually. And not because, oh, I hate Garnett, or, you know, like I'm underrating Garnett, or I'm overrating Anthony Edwards. No. As Mike Zimmer might say, you see the game? You know, did you see the game? So it's stuff like that. And have you been paying attention? Anthony Edwards is a little out of control still at times. And I talked about that in the last episode. But when Anthony Edwards is in control, and when Mike Conley keeps tutoring him, and, you know, being under, you know, like Anthony Edwards keeps following Mike Conley's tutelage, as they say, you're seeing differences. You're seeing better decisions. Including ones against Golden State when the Wolves were not playing well and still found a way to beat Golden State in Golden State with Steph Curry out anyway, but still, they still beat him though, regardless. That was in the second game. First game was actually more impressive. But, you know, winning is winning is winning is winning. But a very impressive win over Boston to keep moving here. Apologize. New Orleans Pelicans, a comfortable win, 122-101. San Antonio was kind of lame. It was our first road game in a while, and we got our first look of Wemby, and he looks absolutely fantastic. But the Wolves were in comfortable position to win the game the whole time, but kind of screwing around and letting the Spurs kind of hang in there a little too long. There's a pretty good chance the Spurs team's going to be good soon, just not yet. And Devin Vassell's a guy I was in love with in the draft at the time. He was limited offensively at the time, like a 3-and-D guy, clearly can shoot the ball, but more limited offensively than he is defensively, a stud defensively. But then now he's becoming much more of a guy who's going to be a perennial all-star with the way he's heading. Devin Vassell easily could be a perennial all-star. He could definitely be that Pippen for Wemby. He did average 18 points last year, so 18.5 to be fair. Last season, but unfortunately only played 38 games, so if he can stay healthy, Vassell's going to be great. Otherwise, Wemby, who's been getting all the highlights and the updates and such, 29 points, 4 blocks, yeah, 4 assists. He's kind of a Mr. Everything. My only complaint in the game, other than the fact that this in-season tournament's kind of fun, the courts are getting kind of out of control. Like the Spurs one, I don't know what the heck, it's kind of weird. I bitched and moaned about the court and the Spurs uniforms, but then when they got closer up on the Spurs uniforms, it's like, yeah, they're not that bad. They're okay. You know what? They're better than those boring gray ones that they've been wearing. You know what I'm saying? I like the old Spurs uniforms from the 80s and 90s where they had the colors to go with the black and the silver and all that stuff. Gray or silver, whatever you want to call it. I like that better than just black and gray. It's boring as hell. And these were okay. There was a little bit of that Southwest vibe, or South by Southwest vibe in San Antonio, Texas with those unis. Not bad. Not bad. The court's a little weird. It looks like Europe, or I don't know. I guess, yeah, it looks like Europe. Not trying to bash in Europe, but their courts aren't that good. They're kind of ugly. But, yeah, that's just kind of how that is. Comfortable win, sort of, for the Wolves. Should have been better. It was kind of a lame game, but the Wolves got the job done. And then 2 days later, now it's time to talk about the Golden State Warriors on the 12th of November, as the Timberwolves were blowing out the Golden State Warriors after a third quarter. It was a back-and-forth type of game. I was doing Cribble Mafia as I was watching at least the first half into the third quarter and such, but mostly the first half. I was recording Cribble Mafia after the Vikings had beaten the New Orleans Saints in US Bank Stadium. If the lady upstairs would sit down, that'd be great. Thank you. That's driving me nuts. Anyhow, I hate living in an apartment, if you hadn't noticed. Especially one that has no soundproof at all. You could hear a pin drop. Anyhow, third quarter, anti-wolves the last 25, 30 years. Anti-wolf third quarter. 35-22 over Golden State in Chase Center. 35-22 over Golden State in Chase Center. This is the one where Steph Curry did play. You know, that little dork that has to show off every time he makes a shot. He has to dance around and whip his body all over the place every time he makes a shot, or every other time. He's calmed down a tiny bit. It's really annoying. But, yep, he had a huge game, 38 points. He was still hitting his shots, but Draymond Green and all that, trying to bully and frustrate and piss people off. And Anthony Edwards was just kind of talking right back to him, like, bleep you. Like, I don't care. What are you going to do? You know, like, was Draymond Green kept saying, what are you going to do about it? And Anthony Edwards was, I'm not sure what he muttered back to him, other than maybe, I'm going to kick your ass, and we're going to beat you, something along those lines, blankety-blank included, I'm sure. And Anthony Edwards went from a game where he was struggling and playing poorly for the most part. For the most part, I mean, 1 of 9 from downtown, that's not good. I'm sorry, it's terrible. That's terrible. Like, what is it, like 11% or something? Come on. 11 of 27 overall from the floor? That's not good. But the fourth quarter was not like that. That's when Anthony Edwards went Michael Jordan on it. He went Michael Jordan on it. And Mike Conley said, yeah, your shot's not going down. He actually told him. He told Anthony Edwards, your shot's not falling. You know, drive to the basket and maybe do some of those pull-up shots or those elbow shots that you absolutely can make. And Anthony Edwards did start doing that. Yeah, and again, driving to the basket and getting to the free throw line was a huge thing. 10 of 10. Yep. 10 of 10 from the line. Doesn't really get a whole lot better than that. And at least he was getting the calls that he deserved, damn it. Including getting hacked by Draymond Green. Technical foul on Anthony Edwards. No tech on Draymond Green or anything. But we'll get back to Draymond Green getting teed up. We'll get back to that later. Yeah, we will. Karl Anthony Towns, strong performance in the game. Only shot 14 times. Anthony Edwards was ball dominant. But Anthony Edwards went from struggling to dominating when it mattered most. Rudy Gobert continues to suck at the free throw line. Other than that, though, Rudy Gobert has been an incredible, incredible transformation from last year to this year. He's Rudy Gobert. He's not the awful tower like he was last year. He's the Stifle Tower again. Welcome back. Welcome back, Rudy. No bon voyage yet, eh? No bon voyage. 5 blocks in the game. Some really big ones. I mean, he has been... He's Rudy Gobert. He's mobile now again. Last year, he just was kind of like a tree in the middle. Like an old center or a guy who was never all that great who could block a couple shots, play a little defense, drop some balls out of bounds, and get a couple rebounds and miss layups and miss free throws like, unfortunately, he has been doing this year. He sucked at the line. Like, what was he? 2 of 11 versus Boston? 2 of 8 in this one. That did not help. But luckily, guys like Anthony Edwards picked up the slack there. Kyle Anderson missed both of his. What the heck? Come on, man. What's going on? 70% total for the team at the line. That's good. Again, field goal percentage wasn't all that great, particularly from downtown. The Wolves literally made 1/3 of their threes, which is, in the 90s, that was considered okay. Now it's like, ugh. You know, it was considered okay. It was never considered good. 40 and up has always been pretty solid, no matter who you are and what decade you're from. I'm an 80s and 90s guy, even though I would have done all my NBA playing if I was able to get that far in the 2000s, unfortunately. yeah, scary thought, unless I came right out of high school. But yeah, good luck with that. Mike Conley's tutelage, though, definitely helped, saying again, stop forcing up threes for crying out loud. Stop being like Rashad McCants. Because that's all McCants did, was force up shots and miss. Because he sucked. He sucked and he was out of control. And that's why he didn't last in the NBA. No matter how many of you loved Rashad McCants at the time, I was right, you were wrong. Oh, okay, I'm just kidding. I don't mean to be a jerk. I'm just playing, mostly. But again, yeah, I was right and you were wrong when it came to McCants. It took me, like, the first year I liked him, the next year is like, okay, dude, this isn't fun anymore. It was kind of like that, like the honeymoon's over, sweetheart. But This honeymoon hopefully will last all season and wrap up with an NBA title, kind of like Denver last year. I'm hoping so, because this team looks like a team that could go very far in the postseason. They could absolutely be in the Western Conference Final. Please, please do so. That would be great. Please do so. Please. A lot of guys did get technical fouls. It was a chippy game. Jonathan Kuminga, who is part of the Andrew Wiggins trade for when we traded for that. We traded Andrew Wiggins to the Golden State Warriors with a draft pick that ended up being Jonathan Kuminga. It took a while because it was one of those restricted deals. Timberwolves acquired D'Angelo Russell. Great. Long term, though, the Wolves end up with Mike Conley, which is okay. Mike Conley for Anthony Edwards? Okay. Especially if he was a couple years younger, that'd be even better. But yeah. Did I say Anthony Edwards? Andrew Wiggins, please forgive me. If I said Anthony Edwards, please forgive me. Anthony Edwards, we're not trading. If you trade Anthony Edwards, that's like, I don't know. Just please don't do that. Gary Payton II, now Naz Reid, yep, he just couldn't stop his frustration. He was getting sick and tired of the calls on him versus Dario Saric. It was kind of annoying to play against both of these games. He's a pain in the butt. Let's just say Saric did play pretty well. And then Edwards, you know, oh boy, he was taunting. Yeah, okay, sure. Draymond Green had nothing to do with that, though. Like, Draymond Green wasn't taunting at all. It was just Anthony Edwards, you know. It was Anthony Edwards. It wasn't Draymond Green or anything. You know, all Anthony Edwards. He's just being an idiot. He's being a moron, right? The next night, you knew Golden State was going to come at the Wolves pretty hard. And it was like a minute and a half in the game. Klay Thompson starts letting out his frustration because he's not that good anymore. Oh, darn. I can't believe I just said that. Yeah, he's not that good anymore. When Klay Thompson misses, his balls. Yeah, that's great. The ball bounces off the rim you're outside shooting the ball. It's a windy day and you're not that great of a shooter anyway. And it just boom, it just flies off the rim like it's going like 100 miles an hour. That's an awful shot. You know, it's not the Klay Thompson we remember, where if he does miss, it's like, you know, rebound friendly and all that. If that makes any sense. He's not the same guy at all. He's not. And obviously, a lot of us knew he wasn't going to be the same guy when you go from an ACL to an Achilles. It's like back to back before you even come back to play again. And in the NBA, it's like injuries like that take like, you know, years to come back from. That all happened in 2019 in the NBA Finals versus Toronto. You realize that? How long ago that was? Yeah. So, and he really hasn't been the same. Klay did have a pretty good season, though, when the Warriors beat the Celtics, because the Celtics decided that they were too shy to win a championship. I still don't understand that one. I don't know what that was all about. But Klay Thompson letting out his frustration with Jaden McDaniels, you know, tight defense on him. And it's like he didn't even guard. Yeah, like Jaden McDaniels was talking about it after the game. Like it didn't really bother him at all. He didn't understand what Klay was so pissed off about. It's like he didn't even guard him the last game, so where's the frustration coming from? It's like a minute and a half in the game, for God's sakes. Slow down. Minute 43 is the exact number because of three players that didn't play another second. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Jaden McDaniels. Klay Thompson, Jaden McDaniels ejected. The scuffle started, and it was Klay that started the fight, not Jaden McDaniels. And Steve Kerr, after the game, and his BS gaslighting after the game, telling us about how Klay should never have been ejected, and Draymond Green, but that was all started by Rudy Gobert. Shut the hell up, Steve Kerr. I last liked Steve Kerr when he was wearing a red Chicago Bulls jersey. The minute he got to Golden State, it's like, this guy, ugh. I don't know. He was always an ass, though. I mean, if you get Michael Jordan punching you, you probably are an ass a little bit. But not that Jordan was a good guy or anything, because he was probably insanely difficult to play with, but at the same time, Steve Kerr's always been an ass. I don't know why people like him so much, but maybe it's other things off the court, but I don't like those either, usually, with Steve Kerr. We'll leave that exactly where it needs to be for a different podcast. Draymond Green, though, again, giving Rudy Gobert a headlock. It was ridiculous. Like, what are you doing? That could start a whole nother conversation we don't need to go to, but it was ridiculous, like stupid. Oh, of course, Draymond Green, you know, he didn't do anything wrong, though. You know, it's the Warriors, you know, they're gods. They should be bowed down to. They're gods. You know, Steph Curry can dance all over your logo. He can urinate on center court and on your logo. It's fine. It's Steph Curry. He's the coolest thing since sliced bread. He's great. Like, no respect to anybody outside of, you know, his team. BS, man. But I'm just kind of losing track of where I'm even thinking anymore because it's, like, tiring. Apologize. I'm probably going too deep into this. But it was an ugly game. It was frustrating. And then Karl Anthony Towns just started really... I mean, the whole game, Karl Anthony Towns, you could tell he had it for the most part. Though, generally speaking, there were so many missed layups in this game. Rudy Gobert couldn't even make a layup. 2 of 8. He was damn frustrating. He actually made his free throws. Wrap your head around that. 5 of 6. It's usually the opposite. He'll be 5 of 6 from the court and 2 of 8 from the line. Okay. Whatever, right? Kyle Anderson was missing shots. Anthony Edwards was all over the place, though. His overall field goal percentage was fine. But, he was having turnovers and such. Missed layups were everywhere. Missed open shots. It was making me so mad. Yet the Wolves shot okay from three-point range, 40-41%, which is kind of funny. But 44.4 overall from the floor because of all the missed layups. Even Karl Anthony Towns is missing a lot. He was missing a lot of opportunities. But generally speaking, he had a fantastic game, especially later on as the Wolves finally started to pull away just a little bit. Finally started to pull away, started to get somewhere. And then the play of the game and all that, it was a series of plays, like tic-tac-toe type of situation, where obviously Dario Saric had a very strong game for his standards. His field goal percentage wasn't good because everybody was missing shots on both sides, except Brandon Podsmiski, who was making bank shots off three-point land and such, particularly late at the end of the third quarter, I think it was, for momentum going into the fourth. That was annoying. It's like, damn it, anyway. So that was frustrating. But guys were missing shots all over the place. Andrew Wiggins looks like the Timberwolves' Andrew Wiggins again. Like the last 2 years or so he was here, he is right back to that guy again. Dazed, kind of out of it, can't shoot, can't do anything. And he's back to about 9 points a game. That's a fact. It's funny. It's weird. He's back to Andrew Wiggins of the Wolves the last 2 years he was here. The first couple of years, Andrew Wiggins looked extremely promising. Very athletic and all that. But let's get to the play that was so exciting. Saric was putting up a baseline shot. Rudy Gobert's mobility looks just, he's completely different. Flew out, blocked the shot. The ball got to Anthony Edwards, who took his time. Drew three defenders his direction. Mike Conley's open in the corner on the other side. Wide open three, and he hit it and just kind of stood there after he hit it. The satisfaction of that shot was oh so beautiful. Like, oh my God, we're going to beat him again. And it's like, yeah, Steph Curry was out. That's a huge problem, obviously. I don't like the guy, but obviously he's a good player. Okay, fine, he's a good player. I don't like him. I've said that 50,000 times probably, and you're tired of it. I'll say it again. Okay, I don't need to say it again. You get the point. It was what it was. Mike Conley, insanely clutch. Absolutely wonderful, wonderful moment. So satisfying to beat Golden State twice in their Chase Arena now, which is in San Francisco. It's not in Oakland. San Francisco is a better town than Oakland. Everybody knows it. It's more expensive, unfortunately. It's probably like $3,000 just to go to a game. No, I'm kidding. I bet when you're done, though, I bet it's like going to a football game. It's that expensive. Like, you know, your parking, the ticket itself, the food there, maybe if you have just one beer, maybe, or even two or whatever, you know, any type of food to go with it, you're probably walking out of, like, you're probably down $300 a person, even just like, you know, in the nosebleeds. I wouldn't even doubt it. And of course, these days, the newer arenas, nosebleeds aren't as bad as they used to be. You're closer to the action, the way the arenas are designed. It's not like 1989 at the Metrodome way up there, or say the Target Center in the early days, where you just saw a bunch of, you know, it's like a bunch of dots moving around. So, because the Target Center is an old building, but more modern than some of those really old ones, where the seats go way back and you need binoculars to see anything in like a football game in the day. But still, it's like the price is insane. It's ridiculous. It's San Francisco. I can't even imagine. why am I even talking about that? I'm sorry. Zoning out. Shake Milton had a couple of stretches that were really nice. He's been off to a slow start, there's no doubt, generally speaking. Usually on Black Friday, I'm catching up, but I guess I'm catching up now, and then Black Friday will be more of a smooth transition, and I'll probably have other topics to go into it as well. But it's only three games from now. It's kind of funny. Shake Milton definitely off to a slow start. Troy Brown Jr. has not really been in the rotation a whole lot, unless it's 10 players, so that's kind of unfortunate. Garza was active, which is a good thing. We're going to need him versus Phoenix, unfortunately, for a certain reason, because we're getting blown to bits. But, yeah. A nice win, though. A great sequence. And you know, we would have probably lost both games last year. We would have almost certainly lost the second one without Steph Curry, which would have been insanely frustrating. Stupid. It's like, seriously? The only positive might have been, like, for the Warriors, like, improvement, Brandon Podzimski versus Klay Thompson. Because Brandon was actually making his shots. Klay's been clanging, and they should call him Klang Thompson, because that's pretty much what he is now. Klang Thompson. The ball's clanging off the rim. So, sorry, Klay, I have to say it, because I got sick of you over the years. Sorry, I got sick of you, just like your backcourt mate there. Chris Paul, again, I mean, I don't know. He's okay. He looks really old. He looks like he's straining on every shot he makes. I don't know why that is, but it's been going on for a while. The heck is that? Okay, sorry, just looking at something. Yep, Klang Thompson out because of the technical foul and blah, blah, blah. Andrew Wiggins looking like the same guy he was here. Overall, you know, it's the Wolves are better than Golden State now. And we could finally say the Wolves are better than Golden State. And this is not with Steph Curry sitting on the bench with a broken hand or whatever all season like that, like a few years ago, and they were hideous. That was kind of, it was fun to watch the Warriors getting blown out every night because everyone's sick of them. Just like when people took satisfaction of the Bulls getting blown out after Michael retired. So, for the second time, and eventually came back with the Wizards. You already know that, most of you. The Phoenix game, we'll talk about that for a couple seconds. Coming from a back-to-back, if a winning streak is going to end, I guess it's going to end in the Valley of the Sun and Footprint Center. Well, they put their footprints on us, unfortunately. Phoenix, they're finally putting their footprints on the season, or I guess a little bit, because they started off 4-6. You think, oh, the Wolves should win comfortably. Not so fast. Phoenix is one of the best teams in the league. They just are starting off poorly because I believe Booker hadn't even played. And Booker's out there doing what he does against us every time. 30-plus. Only played 25 minutes and had 31 points. Kevin Durant was all over the place. Jordan-esque, you know, Jordan-esque kind of pull-up shots and fadeaways. And then, of course, the three-pointers, which Jordan did very well against Portland anyway in 92. But the three-pointers aren't everything. That's why, further proof, three-pointers aren't everything. If the best player ever wasn't ultra-focused in that. Anthony Edwards, well, another one of those games where he did not play well in a back-to-back. Like, he has made fun of himself in the past. 4-16. Yuck. What was that? Even Gobert, not that great. There was just no energy in the game except out of Karl-Anthony Towns, Mike Conley were both the best, easily the best players. Naz Reid was the third best player in the game, but you need help from some other guys. Jaden McDaniels was decent, but he got into foul trouble a little bit. Frustrating. Kevin Durant hitting some shots that you thought, like, come on, how's he making this one? Like, bouncing off the rim, and then, of course, a stupid foul was called at the same time. So, moments like that were frustrating. Shake Milton, though, looking like he's coming to his own a little bit, which is good. Played more of a sixth-man role versus Phoenix, and it was kind of more necessary considering the circumstances that it's just not our night. Like, Phoenix is like, yeah, we got to get our heads out of somewhere. And the Wolves, it is what it is. You're not going to win every game. I mean, even the 96 Bulls got blown out by the Knicks. So, you know, they got killed, and that was on national television. Not something Michael was too pleased about, if you remember correctly, in 96. That was one of their 10 losses that year, and it was a thrumping by the Knicks, the hated New York Knicks at the time. The Bulls and Knicks hated each other. Phoenix has never been a good matchup for the Wolves, at least especially this particular group. Kevin Durant's tortured us forever. Freaking Devin Booker's, you know, Devin Booker drives me nuts. But he's pretty much in his prime now. Josh Okogie had some really nice moments as well, which is really bleeping annoying. Sorry, freaking annoying. So there's a little bit of that. With that said, though, the what do we call it? The Lone Wolf Award for the month of November up until today anyway. It's generally going to be Anthony Edwards, but in a lot of ways, I think Rudy Gobert deserves it as much as Anthony Edwards because he is the Stifle Tower again. He at least deserves honorable mention for the Lone Wolf Award. That would be Rudy Gobert, of course. Anthony Edwards is the main guy. The Johnny Flynn Memorial. Like, who's... I don't know. It's Naz Reid. No, it's not Kyle Anderson. I don't really think there really is one. Like, I think I'm going to go without that at the moment, other than maybe, like, just Draymond Green and Steve Kerr. And, of course, the other guy, Klang Thompson. Now watch him hit, like, 40 against us or something in the next game, but Klang Thompson, those guys are going to get the Johnny Flynn Memorial. Not only because I can't stand the Warriors, but all the BS afterwards. And, you know, just too much. There's too much attitude there and too much arrogance. It's always been there, but now people are finally seeing it for real because they're not being blinded by, whoa, the Warriors are the greatest team in the history of basketball. No, they're not. They're not. Sorry. Sorry, even the best version of the Warriors were not better than the 96 and 97 Chicago Bulls. I'm sorry, they weren't. Sorry. That's just, I'm going to stick with that opinion. You can have yours, I'll have mine. So, with that said, we're going to take a quick break and preview just three games. This was an epic, epic first segment. Hope you didn't mind the craziness of myself. Again, kind of coming back, not really rusty, because I've been doing Purple Mafia quite a bit. It's not like the summer where I hardly did any podcasts at all, so other than some video game flashback and another podcast called Freedom of Thought. But with that said, we'll be right back to preview three games and keep moving. We are back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number two. Sorry if the first segment was a bit of a mouthful, but I suppose it would have to be when you consider there was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff to talk about. Even, you know, the Phoenix game was annoying and stupid, but beating the Warriors twice and all the emotion and all the vitriol involved in that game, those games anyway, pretty crazy. Wolves don't play until Saturday, and then again, three games, New Orleans, so... Put the lemon in the tomato juice. I should have did that this morning. Dang it. I should have. I'm not kidding. I often do that, especially when I think about playing the New Orleans Pelicans. Put the lemon in the tomato juice, and then the New York Knicks come to town. And the Philadelphia 76ers, who are now one of the other great teams right now, will they actually do something legitimate in the playoffs? Will they go to the NBA Finals finally for the first time since the Iverson era? Iverson, give me a break. Overrated. Sorry. Yep. I don't like some of these guys. Sorry, I don't like some of the guys that other people do. New Orleans Pelicans. I kind of like them, obviously, and if the son of a gun, could ever stay healthy, they'd be a really good team. But the son of a gun never stays healthy, does he? At least not for the most part. That'd be Zion Williamson. Well, he's been healthy for the most part. I'm not sure what to make of him, though. When he's good, he's good. 21.3 a game. Brandon Ingram, former Los Angeles Laker. That was a part of that famous trade, you could say, for that guy. For the Brow. Yep, the Brow went to the Lakers. That guy. Well, they just ended a losing streak. Four-game losing streak. Beating the Mavericks 131-110. New Orleans Pelicans, not off to the greatest start. 5-6. The Timberwolves beat them pretty good earlier in the year, which is a great thing for us anyway. Anthony Edwards leading the Wolves with 26.3 a game. 13 points yesterday is not going to help that. That brought it down. It was like a 28. 5 assists for Anthony Edwards. Incredible. 12.4 rebounds. Garnett territory for Rudy Gobert. That's great. Appreciate it. The Wolves and the Pelicans are pretty much neck and neck when it comes to offense. Wolves are 18th. Pelicans are 19th. Rebounds, Wolves are 7th. Pelicans are 16th. Field goal percentage, Wolves are 6th. Wow. Pelicans 21st. Three-point percentage, 15th for the Wolves. 19th for Le Pelican. And we'll leave the rest where it is. We don't need to get into everything. Wolves recently, on November the 8th, won 122 to 101. 3 games to go again Saturday, November 18th. Monday, December 11th, both in Nolan, so lemon and tomato juice, all that good stuff. We'll put it in when they come here, too, on Jan the 3rd. The Wolves should be able to take care of this team, I think. Obviously, it's a team that's given the Wolves trouble in the past, but the recent past, the Wolves have had success. CJ McCollum has always been a Wolves killer, probably pissed off that the Wolves passed on him for, Shahbaz Muhammad and Gorgui Dieng. It's been that long already, wow. But definitely a sharpshooter, kind of a tweener and all that, but a guy that ended up being way better than a lot of people thought. I was one of the ignorant people that was like, oh, I don't want him. He's just one of those tweener, like, small shooting guards. Because we've had so many failures taking guys like that, like Randy Foy and others. Ah, the Wild finally, it's a replay where the Wild got demolished by Dallas. God. But we actually scored a goal at one point. Yeah. Quack, quack, quack. Anyhow. Like when the Ducks were real bad, yeah. New Orleans is 10th in the Western Conference, so they'd actually be in the bubble thingy or whatever they call it, play-in tournament. We have like 19 tournaments now. You have the bubble tournament, the 19th, the play-in tournament, the in-season tournament, the tournament of champions, the tournament of losers. Okay, but I think the Wolves should be able to win over the New Orleans Pelicans in Smoothie King Center. Interesting. Smoothie King Center, huh? Cool. Interesting, no doubt. Pelly Sports, New Orleans, okay. I'd like to believe the Wolves can win this game. Obviously, CJ McCollum going to be a pain to deal with. Brandon Ingram is very good. He's kind of like a, I've always seen Brandon Ingram as kind of like a, you know, like a junior version of Tatum. Yeah. I've kind of seen him as like a junior version of Tatum. So, you know, obviously of Boston. So that's kind of the vibe I have when it comes to that. But at the same time, I think the Wolves should be able to take care of business versus Boston. Jason Tatum, of course. I don't know why my mind's blanking on me, and I apologize. Final score, something. I think it'll be a relatively close game. Road games, I mean, the Wolves need to play better on the road. Obviously, they have been playing better on the road until the Phoenix game. I keep talking about the Phoenix game now. But the Wolves, I'm believing that they can get the job done. Final score, 115-110. The Wolves will win by 5. Anthony Edwards, I think, is going to, hopefully he gets out of this little mini funk he's been in the last couple of games. The second Golden State game, he wasn't the same guy. He really wasn't. And ultimately, he's been shooting poorly the past week or so. So it's make note of that. But Anthony Edwards, 25. He's not going to have a great game, but he'll get 25. New York Knicks coming to town. They are 6-5 at the moment after beating the Hawks, 4th in the Atlantic Division, and all that good stuff. We're going to keep sliding here. The New York Knicks. Yeah, Jalen Brunson, former Maverick who wound up in New York. Good for him. Mitchell Robinson's averaging 11.7 rebounds, 22.7 points for Jalen Brunson. Julius Randle, 19. R.J. Barrett, 22.6. It's a nice balanced team, to be quite fair. This is, again, Tom Thibodeau's club. 7th place in the East. They're at least competitive. If this was in New York, I don't know. The Wolves always struggle there, always, like forever. So, yep, Dante DiVincenzo is now in the Knicks. Interesting. He is not shooting well. 36.8 and 58.3 from the line. What's up with that? What? 31.3. What's wrong with Dante DiVincenzo? Wasn't he always a great shooter? So, I don't know if it's a Tom Thibodeau syndrome or something. That's pathetic. What's up with that crap? 45.7 for Jalen, though. Watch out. He's got a little bit of that going on. He's better from three-point range than from the floor. R.J. Barrett, my God, 50%. Jeez. 48% from the floor. See, that's kind of annoying, though. Like, it's good that you can make threes. Good for you. It's good and everything. But if you're a better three-point shooter than just regular, like, baskets, you know, shooting on the floor, driving to the basket, or pull-up, or, like, elbow shots or something, I don't know. I think it's kind of hurting the game a little bit. That's just the way I see it. I think that's hurting the game. I don't know. That's bugging me. The Knicks are 4-1 in their last 5, though. They were playing a lot better. They're off to a terrible start. You figure they're going to get better at some point. Massive road trip, and we're at the very end of a 5-game road trip, after Washington and Charlotte. That's a back-to-back coming up here starting tomorrow. And then they come to Minnesota on Sunday at 7 o'clock. Oh, Monday, 7 o'clock. Sorry. Monday night, 7 o'clock versus the Wolves. Nice game there. I want to believe the Wolves can keep winning these games, but I don't know. I mean, we're not going to be undefeated or anything the rest of the year. The Knicks are... Oh, let's get to that. Wow, where am I? 25th in points, 4th in rebounds. Wow. Yeah, because of guys like Mitchell Robinson. 28th in field goal percentage. Yeah, they stink there. Three-point percentage, they are 7th. Yeah. Yep, it's believable because of the two guys at the top there, like I was talking about. So, yeah, it's definitely they're definitely a threat. They're playing very well. I don't know. I think the Wolves dropped this game for some reason. I think the Wolves dropped this game, unfortunately. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I can see Karl Anthony Towns going off for 30 against the New York Knicks, having a good one against them. But I think the Wolves drop it, unfortunately. I got a bad feeling about that one. Final score, something along the likes of like... it's not going to be the highest scoring game ever, no. Something like 108 to 100. But I think the Knicks beat the Wolves in that one, unfortunately. Karl does get 28. Philadelphia, Wednesday. The Philadelphia Flyers. No, I'm just kidding. The Philadelphia 76ers, 8-3, second place in the East with Boston there. With Boston, classic Eastern Conference teams, like original type of basketball teams that go way back. Sixers are third in points, third, eighth in rebounds, fifth in field goal percentage, number one in free throw. I usually don't get into that, but when I see number one, that's a big deal. 12th in three-point percentage. James Harden is gone. Joel Embiid is leading the league in scoring. 31.9 a game. He also attempts 3.5 threes, but only 30.8 from there. 50.4 overall from the floor. Tyrese Maxey definitely taking a Scottie Pippen role in a huge way, but way beyond that. More like, I don't even know, like LeBron and Wade when they were both in their prime. 27.6 for Tyrese Maxey. Great start to the season. 42.9 from downtown, as we like to call it. An overall wonderful player. Kind of like an overall, he's like an overall best player on the team, even though Joel Embiid is the franchise. 6.7 assists, with 5.1 rebounds for Tyrese Maxey. Brings a whole lot of everything. Robert Covington, if he can stay healthy, still a threat at times. Defensively, he can be a pain in the butt. Patrick freaking Beverley, who is better at talking than playing at this point. Maybe he always was. 2 points, 3 rebounds. He's got more rebounds and 2 assists. And 16 minutes a game coming off the bench, of course. When you have a guy like Tyrese Maxey leading the way. Oh darn. Nicholas Batum also finally getting out of Clipperland. I'm sure they were happy to move on. 7 points, 4 rebounds for him in only 4 games, though. So, but again, that's after the trade. Mo Bamba, cool name, but only averaging 2 minutes in 4 games. Danny Green's still alive, but 2 games, 9 minutes a game. Danny Green is still alive, but barely. Kenyon Martin Jr., wow. Yep, similar there, barely seeing any action. Kelly Oubre Jr., who was a pain in the ass to deal with Charlotte Hornets, if I remember correctly. God, he was driving us nuts with getting hot from outside and such. Ooh, it was annoying. But it is what it is. Batum also is shooting 60% from three-point land since getting to Philly. He is making his shots, making two-thirds of his shots from the floor as well overall. Tobias Harris, right about where he's always been, about 19.5 points, almost 7 rebounds. Good, solid number three guy on a team. Actually, a really, really, really good number three guy on a team. He'd be a nice number two, honestly. But that's why Philly's so damn good. See, that's why I think the Wolves somehow dropped the next game but beat Philadelphia. But maybe I'll be wrong. It'll go the other way. But the Wolves have gotten up for these guys. They've gotten up for the best teams in the league. And the Wolves have become one of the best teams in the league. So I think the Wolves are going to somehow beat the Philadelphia 76ers despite losing to the Knicks. So I think a 2-1 week is a realistic possibility. It's hard to just say 3-0 versus, you know, the Knicks. You know, when you have two of the games against the Knicks, who are playing really well, and Philadelphia is one of the best teams, though they're not playing well. So maybe that makes sense. They have 3 games coming up until next Wednesday, which is Drinksgiving and kind of a silly name and silly thought process. The Philadelphia 76ers play the Hawks next, then Brooklyn and Cleveland. So all Eastern Conference teams before the Wolves come to visit. No, they come to visit the Wolves. Sorry, yeah, that's what I thought. It's a home game. I'm picking the Wolves to win the game. Going to be a higher scoring affair. Anthony Edwards, 35 points. Carl Anthony Towns also knocking on the door of 30. But Rudy Gobert will be a factor and frustrate Joel Embiid enough. I think that the Wolves win the basketball game. Final score of 125 to 118. The Wolves defeat the Philadelphia 76ers. Another giant killing performance, beating one of the other giants in the NBA. The Wolves get the job done and go 2-1 against the Pelicans, Knicks, and Sixers. With that, we'll take a quick break and get to fan interaction. We are back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number 3, fan interaction segment. Facebook page, just look at it real quick, facebook.com/Timberwolves Explosion. I need to be more active on there. No conversation, just a like, so I really appreciate that, though, always. I need to be more active on there. Yeah, I was talking about Flip Saunders passing away, I think. No, I did not. So, yeah, this is a big thing. Flip Saunders did pass away 8 years ago on October 25th. So he died of cancer at age 60 at the time. So he'd be 68 already. But I can imagine him still being president of basketball operations. Very possible. Not being coaching probably at that stage at 68. But crazy things can happen. Obviously one of the nicest people on the planet. Very knowledgeable about the game. Obviously helped transform this franchise from a doormat of the league, obviously him and Garnett coming in around the same time, Kevin McHale, all that. But Flip also bringing that personality, the passion, but also the way he treated fans and general people. Person after person talked about Flip Saunders. Like, it was like the nicest guy I ever met, and I wish I got to meet him too. Those of you that did, you're blessed. Absolutely blessed. Absolutely blessed. You got to meet Flip Saunders from Cleveland, Ohio, 8 years ago on October the 25th, 2015. I still remember where I was. I was in my Brooklyn Park apartment watching the Minnesota Vikings, Stefon Diggs. I believe it was his first, it was his coming out party in Detroit. An amazing game. I believe it was in Detroit, but it wasn't, I swear it was an outside game. But he really was coming into his own. It was getting close to halftime. Just a quiet, beautiful late October with these kind of cirrocumulus clouds off in the, up everywhere. Just gorgeous. Almost like the gates of heaven were opening. And then, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. The ESPN, you get the alerts. Most of you probably have that on your phone. Flip Saunders dies at 60. I was like, oh, my God. And things had been so quiet. And then it was a few weeks earlier, things are very dire here, I had a terrible dream right after September, when it went from Flip is coming back, soon in a few weeks to help, it's going to be months. And there was a vibe, things had just gone the wrong direction, very much so. Talk was about possible pneumonia or something from the chemotherapy. It's a side effect because your immune system is not up to par when you're on chemotherapy. And if you get pneumonia, you could be in real big trouble. And that's supposedly what happened. They put Flip into a medically induced coma. He said, I'll see you guys in a couple of days. And that never happened, just never happened. It was the saddest thing ever. Flip Saunders, absolutely, it's a memory that's going to last forever. I'm going to talk about him every year, every single year. 30 years from now, if I'm still doing Timberwolves Explosion, Flip Saunders is going to get brought up on the show around October 25th. Obviously, it's been a while since the last episode, so it's I better, talk about it here. just miss Flip Saunders very much. And no, I had a terrible dream though when they first talked about like things are a little more dire here. He's still going to be okay and all that. And I had the dream, StarTribune.com, Flip Saunders dies. And that day, there it was, exactly like my dream, exactly. Flip Saunders dies, exactly. Pretty scary, isn't it? So it was like a month later that the dream ended up being 100% accurate. Whew, so stuff like that is scary stuff, no doubt about it. It's this, you know, I mean, it was just like the devastation you feel like in the dream in that case, but then in real life, like, my God, he'd done such a good job. He brought the franchise back from another doldrum and all that, just like he did before. And of course, the nicest person ever. Not only was he really good at what he did, but he was such a great guy. And then that happened. It's just like life really sucks. You know, it really does. And that was a huge example of why. You don't want to believe it sucks all the time, and I'm sure Flip didn't feel that way, and yeah, and nor should we, I suppose. With that said, I'm going to give Flip Saunders a moment of silence. Thank you, Flip. Yeah, I miss you. So now we'll go to the X. How you transition from that? Impossible. Impossible. At TWolvesEX is the Twitter or X account. This might be fairly quiet, but, you know, let's make it about Flip, huh? Want to thank those of you that followed. Andrew D.D., thank you very much, in case you're listening. Yeah, I was ranting. I've never seen a team get away with more bitching and moaning every single game than these stupid Warriors. It's been going on forever. Can't wait till the entire team is retired. Benzo, like that. Excuse me. Hustle play 3,000. I was saying, yep. You tee up Anthony Edwards earlier, but can't tee up Draymond Green for all that crap? Give me a break. Grow up, refs. That's what's wrong with this stupid league. Stop favoring this a-hole team from hell. Nobody likes the Warriors anymore, nor should they. Hustle play 3,000. Nice to hear from you. Says, yep, Draymond rapidly becoming bad for the league. Playing dirty and screaming at clouds. Then you tee up Ant for an unreal dunk? Come on now. Yeah, because he had a dunk and they said, oh, he was taunting. And I was saying, yep, it was crazy, so biased. Yeah, it was stupid. Definitely stupid. Nice to hear from you, Hustle Play. I hope to hear from you more and more and more and more and more. Yeah, people like that one. I was ranting there. So, yep, and I said something, yeah, because, well, it's because, like, Jim Peterson, love Jim Peterson, but he said something I don't like. Oh, Steph Curry, he's a treasure, you know. And I was saying, call Steph Curry a treasure all you want. I think he's just a cocky little bleep who is madly in love with himself 24/7, 365. Can't stand the guy. So I know people didn't like that. There was a reply that told me to ask the, you know, shut the bleep up, dumb bleep, basically. It's like, well, if you're just going to blindly worship the guy, then I don't know. What does that say about you? I was saying, weird but absolutely strong finish. That's after Conley made the shot. Were there any response? Nope. It's mostly just likes and such. But I really appreciate that. T-Wolves Wire also followed. Thank you very much. And okay, and then you get some of those where you know it's like, you know, like porn type accounts trying to get you to follow them and all that. Where they pretend to like your tweets. Here he is. Random Hoops. There he is. Reese Pedretti. Vince Germano. I think you guys retweeted. I got to go back. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of did a weird one. Yep, Vince Germano out of Australia and Derek Felska, obviously a great friend out of Wisconsin as well, from Minnesota, but Western Wisconsin. Oh, yeah, there was another reply, too. I got to go back. Sorry. Yeah, but yeah, Vince Germano coming in out of Australia, awesome person. Sorry about what happened with Deshaun Watson. He's, you know, gosh, Cleveland looks so good, and then Deshaun Watson has a season-ending shoulder injury, shoulder surgery, sorry. So a huge bummer there. Huge, huge bummer there. When was the frickin' preview? I'm losing track here. Okay, so Vince Germano retweeted it. Yep, also, but yep, so did Derek. I think it was some kind of, oh, no, that's not the preview. I had some kind of like early, yeah, that's why. I had some kind of like later show. That's why. Like somewhere like the beginning of November-ish. Yeah, that's right before the Denver game. Levi Brown said, just, yep, he's also out of New Zealand, says, just caught up on the last three episodes. Not sure how many games I'll be able to watch this season, so looking forward to keeping up to date through the show. Thank you so much, Levi. Yep, Levi and Tanae also retweeted, just like Derek and Vince. Thank you guys so much. With that said, it looks like that's going to be a wrap for this episode of Timberwolves Explosion. Right about an hour. Cool. So anybody out there who likes this show and wants to help, what would help an awful lot is the wind is really blowing now. That's the reason I'm not outside working on a gorgeous day, because it's like gale force winds out there. you might be able to hear it because I have the window open. Yeah, it's that nice out, but gale force. Sorry. Algorithms. If you could please, please, please put a positive rating, a 5-star rating for Timberwolves Explosion on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other app that allows you to put ratings. Please do, if you could. It would really help the show. Don't be afraid to call in sometime. Simply open your smart device. And there's free voice recorders on every smart device on the planet, and you can download them as well for free off of the stores. Basically, press record, treat it like a phone call, and then when you're done, send it to paladinolive@yahoo.com. paladinolive@yahoo.com. Greatly appreciated. So, would love to hear from you. Anytime, Tanae, Vince, Hank McCoy. No, that would be Wayne Hunt is his real name. Anybody out there, Benzo, be great to hear from you. Reese Pedretti, yep, Reese Pedretti, Pumpa, be great to hear from you. There was a tweet or post, I guess it's called. What was I saying? Yes, Random Hoops, I want to mention this. Final thing. And I'm surprised to hear him say this because he's a Warriors fan, at least I thought he was. He says, I know it's not a hot take and it's been discussed to death, but in my opinion, today's NBA is a tough watch compared to what I grew up with watching in the 90s. All the talent guys have, and it's an end-to-end three-point shooting comp. Not great viewing. It's like long ovation. I mean, really long ovation. If I'm sitting or standing, whatever it is. Thank you. Yes, all the, you know, like, what's wrong with driving to the basket? What's wrong with an and one, well, like off of a spectacular floater or even a turnaround shot? Or dunking on people like Anthony Edwards. But nope, three-pointer, oh, missed shot, shoot another three. Yeah, I agree, it's not the same. I agree, I was saying 1,000%, gotten so much crap for daring to say it over the years, and those people can get stuffed. The 90s were so much better, and they were. Some people, yep, Random Hoops liked it, thank you, yep, awesome. Amen, brother. Yes, Reese Pedretti coming out of Brisbane, Australia, if I'm saying it correctly. I think it's Brisbane still, right? So if I'm wrong about the location, I apologize. So hope to hear from you more and more and more. With that said, have yourself a happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, we can say that. Yes, I recorded Timberwolves Explosion on Halloween. That's right. It was, I think it was just not good. It wasn't good weather conditions. I think it was cold. I think it snowed or something. Yeah, Halloween, it was a Halloween snowfall, just like the 91, but not nearly as bad. It was kind of funny. I think I even made fun of it. Yeah, so with that said, have a nice week, and we'll be back on Black Friday. Happy Thanksgiving, and Merry Christmas as well as we're heading into that.